Well, there's none higher than the CEO, Peter Volandis. Welcome to you, Pete.
Thank you. And there is one higher. There's the chairman and the board, mate. I'm only just a servant of a board.
Really? Nah, come on. Come on. No, it's good to be here and let our listeners know a lot more about your team. How many full-time staff in these offices?
Two. Me and my PA. There's over 100 staff at Racing New South Wales, but not just in these offices. We have one of the world's best practice laboratories on level 11. It's world renowned. We have spent a lot of money on that laboratory to ensure that we have the highest integrity. You know, only 3 or 4 years ago, even 5 years ago, you could only test in any urine 6 drugs. Yep. You know, you would do a screen and you could test for 6 drugs. Now we can test for 10,000. Mm. So if you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to get caught. So we have some very good scientists up there who are not only just analysing urine samples and blood samples, they're also looking at the next generation of things, you know, DNAs, manipulation, and other things that can happen. So we want to be ahead of the game, not behind it.
Well, that was one thing, because probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, everyone thought there were always people 2 steps in front of the drug testing. But you're confident with what you've got up on a level 11, but that's not the case now.
Absolutely. As I said, we have invested millions of dollars into research. We think that the next big threat is gene doping, and we have done a lot of work. We are cooperating with other jurisdictions around the world. I think Professor Crawley, who does all our research here, is ahead of the game for anywhere in the world, and he's now world-renowned, presents papers, and, you know, we'll probably introduce a thing called a blood passport very soon, where you know, we'll be able to tell everything about the horse at any stage.
Okay, so if you walked in and you took a sample from a horse, you could clearly identify that that's Andrew Bensley.
You could, yeah, absolutely. In the future, yeah. With a blood passport, yeah. We will know the physiology of the horse at particular points in time. Mm. And if there's been a change or a manipulation, you'll be able to identify it. And then the challenge is to work out how it was done.
It's an amazing thing. But as I said to Mark Van Gestel, integrity is number one on all facets. You've got a large state to cover, but obviously a lot of people are out there doing inspections, making sure that everyone is playing on a level field.
Absolutely. Look, having a level playing field is crucial and paramount to me. You know, everyone that's goes out there should have equal opportunity, you know, to test their ability and the horse's ability. They shouldn't have artificial stimulants or go-fast drugs or anything else. So that's the first thing. But also, one advantage we have over other wagering sports is we scrutinise every aspect of our industry. You know, in the race, the stewards do a terrific job. They've got the latest technology. They've got Hawkeye. Mm. You know, we've invested very big in all the stewards' rooms. Because if you have a game, if you have a bet on a sport, they don't have the same level of scrutiny we do. We scrutinise everything, you know, before the race, after the race, even years after the race, because we've got frozen samples that we will reanalyze, and we have reanalyzed some frozen samples for cobalt, and have found that some that were positive.
Well, that was a story at the time. It's gone on for years, the cobalt issue, but at that time there was a lot of discussion about black caviar and the like, and you clearly went back and tested, I presume.
Absolutely, and black caviar was completely clear. All the swabs were clear of black caviar, so those rumours were certainly unfounded.
Yeah. Country people that are listening to us, we've got our FM network that spreads right around the state. They're listening to us, and I guess they're thanking Racing NSW for the prize money increases. It has been an exciting 12 months, but as a CEO of Racing NSW, do you look forward now to making further decisions about prize money? I mean, how forward do you start looking?
Look, I believe that's what we're all here for, is the prize money. That's the dividend. And we are a competition sport. We compete for the prize money. And those that are, you know, the best will win the majority of the prize money.
Yep.
And that has a multiplier effect throughout the industry, because then that trainer can pay, you know, all the bills, the owner pays all the bills, etc. But you say prize money, you know, I don't think I've ever seen New South Wales in a better position financially in the country areas.
Yep.
You know, your minimum prize money per race on a TAB meeting is $20,000. We have 45 showcase meetings that have $30,000 as minimum prize money, but we also have at those showcase meetings, 35 of them, a $40,000 maiden, yeah. You know, unheard of, yeah. 5 or 6 years ago. And that's only for country trained horses. So your first winner, your first time you win a race, you can win prize money of $40,000. Yeah. You know, as I said, so we've concentrated very hard to make country viable and we will continue to do so. The country championships have been fantastic. You know, you've got $150,000 heats and a $500,000 final only for country horses.
Yeah,
you've got the $60,000 highway race every week at Randwick, $60,000. You know, these are levels of prize money that have never been seen before in country racing in New South Wales, and we won't just leave it there. You know, we will continue to make it more viable for people within the industry. And there's people saying, oh, there's provincial and metropolitan trainers going to these areas. Well, that has to be the case because owners have country class horses. Yeah. Just because it's trained in the metropolitan area, it's probably a country, you know, style horse.
Does that strengthen the overall state of racing anyway?
It does, but, you know, but the majority of prize money, believe it or not, is still won by the country participants.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit of a mirage to see all these metropolitan provincial because the majority is still won by country participants.
Is the turnover flowing through? Like Lismore had their cup meeting, last Thursday. Is it flowing through that we're seeing quality, more quality horses running in showcase meetings? Does the turnover increase?
Yeah, look, it does increase, and we've had a very healthy increase in turnover last year. We had an 8% increase in turnover from all our wagering operators, which is extraordinary, and that produced a 13% increase in revenue, which gives us some money now looking forward to our new strategic plan. You know, we will have funds to invest in the industry, and the board is working very hard at the moment to look at the problems that we need to address and how we can best spend our funds.
What's on that? What's at the top of the sheet? I mean, you've been through so much change, but what are you looking at now?
Look, I think what people don't understand is the pool of horses in New South Wales has dropped. Well, not only in New South Wales, actually, it's probably dropped less in New South Wales than any other state of Australia. But you know, the foal rates drop. There's less foals being born.
Yep.
But from a foal to what the time it races, there's a 3 to 4 year lead time. So. The pool of horses is like a pyramid. You know, down the bottom, you've got many maidens, many C1s and C2s. But then when you get up to your higher open class horses and your group and listed horses, there aren't that many of them. And the good ones are also poached or taken by Hong Kong. It's an open market. So there's Hong Kong owners that assess the potential of these horses. But, you know, about 100 horses a year are taken out of New South Wales that have tried horses, that have won races and go to Hong Kong. Well, it doesn't sound many.
No.
But when you
Take the top ones,
and then you say to yourself, well, that horse would have run for 3 or 4 years. So it's really 500 horses by year five.
Yeah.
Because they're mainly 3 year olds. So they do race on.
Yeah.
So the thing we need to address in the strategic plan is how do we improve the size of our pool of horses? And in particular for provincial and metropolitan races, you know, your field sizes are the big thing. And unless you have good field sizes, it's a less attractive product for your punters. So we need to get an immediate fix on increasing our pool size, and we've got a few ideas that we'll put forward to the industry, which will give us a quick fix. Because I said improving the foal rate is one thing, but that has a 3 year lead time, and then other jurisdictions will also be competing for those horses at the sale, which is a great thing because that's, you know, the economic multiplier is what's needed.
And this strategic plan, when are we hearing about? When will it come out?
It should be out by the end of the year. You know, we have to consult all our participant groups.
Yep.
You know, we've got a few ideas that we want to put to them. I'm sure they'll have some ideas to put back to us. You know, we're also dealing with government on other matters which may improve our revenues even further.
Right.
You know, we want to look at infrastructure. We want to make sure that we have the best training facilities and best tracks. We've already spent $100 million around New South Wales, and that went very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we spent $11 million at Newcastle, and it's, you know, and that Beaumont track has been excellent. And I think the course proper, given time, will be, you know, an all-weather surface that we've never seen in New South Wales before. Look, this new style of track hasn't been maintained before, so people are still learning. I think, you know, it's happened all around Australia.
Yep.
I think they've actually worked it out at Broadmeadow. I think they know how to maintain it. They know what to do. And I think you'll see this track improve significantly. We've also spent significant funds on drainage at all other tracks around New South Wales. We're going to spend, you know, $8 to $10 million at Kembla Grange to make it similar to Newcastle with a inside track and a prop, and a course proper that's properly drained and has the latest turf technology.
Yeah.
You know, the Kembla Club have now got council permission. They've got the DA.
So the process is slow on those, but after when you look back, it does happen pretty quick.
Oh, look, it does happen pretty quick, but, you know, like all the rest of us, people are impatient. They want to see it done straight away.
But
you know, you have to deal with councils. You have to deal with local government. You have to make sure there's, you know, minimum interruption to the training procedures there already. But we're going to look at that in a big way in the strategic plan. We've got to have the best infrastructure. And we might even look at public facilities because... Okay. The time has come where, you know, you've got to have proper facilities at these race courses. So that's all part of the strategic plan.
The Everest, it's gained unbelievable publicity. I think officially we're still waiting for the Star to announce their slot. David Hayes told us on air last Friday that he expects to have two in the race. It's up for the others to announce. So that would mean two slots to go. We're not far away from the race, so probably Friday night, tomorrow night and Saturday will probably decide those last two slots.
Look, it's ironic because the first guy that bought a slot was Damien Flower, and he's the last bloke to announce his horse. It might be a smart strategic move. Look, I've never seen a race that's generated as much publicity, not just in Australia, but worldwide. Yeah. It's been a phenomenon. You know, I call it a juggernaut because it really has put Sydney racing on the map. It's the race everybody's talking about. You know, the Melbourne Cup's been around for 200 years, and you know, at the moment we're getting more mentions on the Everest than the Melbourne Cup, which, you know, we're not in competition to the Melbourne Cup. We admire and respect the status of that race and what that VRC have done over the years. We just want a race for Sydney, and you know, and we've picked a race that we believe is bold and is Sydney, and that is a sprint over 1200 meters with $10 million in prize money. And the amount of people that are outside the racing industry that are talking about the Everest is what's pleasing. And we always aimed it for the 18 to 35 year olds. You know, we've got Jason Derulo who has 900 million hits on one of his songs, nearly as many as your Twitter accounts.
Don't know about that.
So he's, you know, he's a world renowned artist, and he's going to do an hour show after the last at the Everest. Now, if that doesn't get 10,000 young people in there, and once we have them in there, we need to show them what a great sport we have, how vibrant it is, how exciting it is. And even if you only got 25% of those people interested, you've done a good job. And I think Everest is the best marketing tool we've ever had, and it's going to grow from here. You know, as I said, we want to make it, you know, 15 million in prize money in the next 3 or 4 years. Just keep growing it and keep making it. But what I like about it, it's Sydney. It's bold. It's different.
And with it, can you explain, because we've had some calls, Punters Postmortem on Monday, I think we had one or two about it, that it's costing Racing NSW no money. The money has come from actually the slot owners.
Now, look, the way it's funded is the race is 10 million. 7.2 million of it comes from the slot owners. We've got to put 2.8 million in.
Yep.
But that will come from wagering revenue. Because if we didn't have the race, we wouldn't be getting the revenue.
Yep.
We believe we're going to make significant amounts already on wagering revenue. You've got the media rights, which Channel 7 will be telecasting and have paid for telecasting the Everest. And you also have the sponsorship of the TAB, who have been a strong partner of Racing New South Wales.
Yep.
So we believe that it'll far exceed the 2.8 million we have to put in.
Yep.
The new revenues that this race will generate will be in excess of the 2.8 million. Otherwise, I have to look for the nearest Centrelink office.
I think you'll be well satisfied. I think the turnover will have already shown now that people are certainly interested. A few quick ones with you. Peter Volandis, do you go to the races on a Saturday? Are you allowed to have a punt? Take us through, I mean, do you do form on the day Saturday's races?
No, look, what I do on a Saturday is, I call it the relationship room. I have a room where my board and myself and the ATC look after dignitaries and in particular people within government and the media. So for me, Saturday's a work day. Yeah. I need to show these people how important racing is. You know, it's this room that was able to get us parity, you know, and that's worth $100 million a year to us every year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it helped us get $235 million when equine influenza, because it's easier when you have a relationship with these people to pick up a phone. They know who you are. So I spend my Saturdays looking after the media and looking after politicians and anyone else that can be of benefit to the New South Wales racing industry. I think Saturday for me is probably one of the hardest days of the week because, you know, when you're looking after 30 or 40 people, it does take, you know, you've got to make sure they enjoy the day, understand the day and the importance of racing in New South Wales.
I've sat in that room once or twice. It was the race calling country championship day, and we had our country callers come in there after they've called the race. But I will say, every time I've seen you walk in, it's the form guide in the back pocket. You must do the form.
Now, that's a prop. You know, that's just so
they, it so looks
they,
like it.
So they basically think I know what I'm talking about, but I don't really. And my tipping isn't the greatest. So, no, look, I do take the sportsman in there. I've done the form and the sportsman since I was 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, it for me, it's the best form guide.
Yep.
And of course, Racing New South Wales website is the best form guide now, and Punter's Intel. But I still take the sportsman in, and if nothing else, it makes me look the part.
Yeah, no, well, you've given yourself up now. The other thing was the Melbourne rivalry. People have a crack at me when I interview you, soft Bensley. Why didn't you ask him the tough question? You know, all this sort of crap. The rivalry, is there from Peter Volandis to Victoria and vice versa? I mean, or is it played up a little bit?
Oh, look, it's definitely played up. And they play it up, and probably I play it up.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they are a competitor of ours because the world has changed with race-filled legislation. Every state now takes betting and wagering and revenue from what it receives on its local races.
Yep.
So I have to make sure that New South Wales product is bet on, and sometimes you may have to take a punter that's normally betting on a Victorian meeting. Mm. But there is no rivalry as such. I mean, you know, we're a national industry, but they have to appreciate that I have to do the best for New South Wales. I'm employed by Racing New South Wales, not Racing Australia, not the International Federation of Racing. I'm employed by Racing New South Wales. It's like if I was employed for BHP, my duty would be to get dividends for my shareholders. My shareholders in New South Wales are the participants, and I will do everything in my power to maximise their return.
Strong words, mate. I think there'll be many listening saying that they're very gratified to have you in the chair for what you've produced. I remember all those court hearings down in Canberra. We've come a fair way from there, haven't we?
Yeah, look, we learnt a lot, though, Andrew. But, you know, I think it was worth it because it really did set the precedent for not only New South Wales racing to generate significant amount of revenue and hundreds of millions of dollars, but it also did it for every other state. You know, every other state now has race-filled legislation that they can rely on.
Yep.
It's got the high court sanction. But the best thing that came out of it that people don't realise is the certainty of it. You know, we got certainty that we can charge whatever price we wish for those people to bet on our product. And sport is now replicating the race for legislation. In years to come, I think that high court case is going to be discussed many, many times over.
Yeah, it will be. Pete, thank you for allowing us to come in here and have a chat. I think we might do it regularly, eh?
No, no problem. The only thing I'm disappointed about is you didn't want one of our Aldi coffee machine coffees. I don't know.
Well, you seem so persistent that when you get up, how about this? Can you make me a coffee?
Yeah, no problem.
Peter Volandis, the supremo of racing New South Wales, you're going to make me a coffee out of an Aldi coffee machine.
Yeah, well, mate, Aldi make the best coffee machines, but they're also the most cost effective, and that's what we are here at Racing New South Wales.
Good on you, Pete.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mate. Peter Volandis joining us.